Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you find Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3 is our opportunity to study God's living Word about limitless love. It may help you to find this little piece of paper, which is tucked away in your order of service. I want you to always pray with me that God transforms this sanctuary into His seminary and that we can learn His truth about our identity in Christ. And here is the great truth. You are loved with a limitless love. And friends, that is the heartbeat message of the Bible. That is the heart of God, that Jesus loves you more than you can possibly understand or measure. For God so loved the world, that includes me and you, that He gave His only Son. And all I have to do to get in on it is trust Him. If I'll believe Him, I can have eternal life. I can be part of His family forever. I can bask in His limitless love. Is there anybody here, and when you look across the landscape of your life and you review the quality of your relationships, you are always having fusses and fights. There's frustration. There is friction. It could be that you're missing the lubricant of love. You see, the lubricant of love is what makes the engine run smooth. That's why it says in 1 Peter 4:8 that love covers a multitude of our problems. So love one another with an earnest Christ-like love. Well, with that in view, here's what I want us to do today. Fill in this first blank. Bask in God's love. That is the goal, because there could be somebody here today and you've gotten off of God's love track. And I'm here as His messenger to get you back on the love track, to take some of the friction and frustration, the fussing and fighting out of your life, and to re-inject in your spirit God's lubricant of love. Some of you are in desperate need of it. There's a note that I keep from a lady, and I oftentimes look at it when I need an injection of love. This lady is a wonderful Christian who is now in the Lord's presence. Her name was Ruth Garvin. Ruth was a dear friend, and she wrote this letter quite a few years ago, but I treasure it, I keep it, I reread it, because it encourages me to bask in the love of God. It was written on August the 19th, 1999, at 3:15 a.m. What are you generally doing at 3:15 a.m.? Writing people love notes? Well, she was. This is why I love her. Listen to what she wrote. And this was a tough time for me. 1999, August. We've been in the process of calculating the cost on building this facility that you're in right now. 1999, we're in the middle of it. And we've just had the bids come back, and they didn't hit the target. Matter of fact, they missed the target by $10 million. Okay, what's a few million dollars among friends? But that was a big problem, because we couldn't swing it. And so that was a tough spot for me. I just started a doctorate of ministries program at Southern Seminary, so I'm a student again. No fun had by all. The kids are 7 to 17. I mean, it's 90 miles an hour at the house. You've always got stuff coming apart in life. At church, there's friction. It's life, isn't it? And so here's what Ruth writes at 3:15 a.m. Jay, precious Jay, the dear Lord made you for such a time as this, so you could preach His holy word. You are anointed of our Lord to preach, and He will always supply you with His power. Walk in His love and bask in His joy and mercy. Jay, smile and relax. He is holding you in His loving arms. In the name of Jesus, love, joy, and peace, Ruth. Romans 8, 28 and 29, her trademark verses. Well, three times in this note, she calls me to what? To love. So I'm here to do the same for you. I want to be Ruth Garvin to you and invite you to bask in God's love. Now, please note on your worksheet, 2 Corinthians 5:14, before we read from Ephesians 3, for Christ's love compels us. The New American Standard says, Christ's love controls us. So I've got to ask you, so you can personalize this message, what controls you? Is anybody here controlled by bad attitude? You just kind of got this sassy bad attitude, and you're always tired and overworked, and people kind of stay away from you because they're scared of you? Anybody here controlled by an addiction, by anger? You're just always mad. Anybody here controlled by avarice? That means greed. You're always wanting more and more, and you can't get enough. Anybody here controlled by a pleasure pursuit, or you're always working because your worth is tied up in your work? Let me ask you this, what controls you? Well, the Lord says the ideal control agent for your life should be the love of Christ. Now, that's my quest, friends, and I want to commend that quest to you. And let's see how it can work out in a practical, everyday way as we come to Ephesians. This is Paul's great prayer. It starts in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Let's ask God to do it. Father, we come very intentionally into your presence, and I pray, Lord, that you would get me out of the way so that your Spirit could take your transforming truth about your love and apply it to the receptive hearts of your children. And I pray for that in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. Let's begin with seeing it. Write down this note. Let's see it. Let's see what love looks like. You see, the sheer vastness of God's love is overwhelming. So we're going to break it down into three parts. We'll begin with seeing it. Scripture tells us that God has demonstrated His great love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, in other words, when we were at our ugliest, when we were the prodigal, when we were rebels, shaking an angry fist in the face of God, saying, I hate you, I will not submit to your moral authority, when we were at our ugliest and worst, what did God do? He demonstrated His love for us by dying for us. A man by the name of Jerome, who was born in 343 A.D., he was a brilliant man who came to love Christ with his whole heart, and he wrote the Latin translation of the Bible. He was a linguistic scholar. He had one of the largest libraries in the world at that time, and he took Ephesians chapter 3, and he talked about the 4 points of the love of God as linked to the 4 points of the cross. Love that is high, deep, wide, and long. So that will be our outline as we try to decode what it means to love like the Lord and let His love control us. So I want you to see it. See what? See that God's love is high and my love is low. Would you make that note? You see, God's love is high and my love is low. God's love is so high, it reaches all the way to heaven and it runs to earth. That's what makes His love so extraordinary. I mean, think about it. What did Jesus do? Jesus, the very Son of God, we learn in Philippians chapter 2, emptied Himself and He became a servant. He moved all the way from heaven to earth. He moved from glory place to the gory place. He moved from His throne to the bloody tree because He loves you and me. That's how high His love is. It reaches all the way down to us. And this high love sets a new standard of love. Please make a note on the side of that worksheet of John 15, verse 13. You see, Jesus is redefining love. He says, no greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends. So many of us are confused about the real definition of love. We don't have a high definition, we have a low definition. Many people talk about, oh, they love mom, that's good. They love hot dog, baseballs, apple pie, Chevrolet. I mean, we love it all, don't we? And so love has no meaning for us. For most people, love really is a synonym to lust. If you look at the current media, love is really just lust. It's the garden variety satiation of my desires, and if I have to use you or abuse you to meet my needs, that's fine. Let's just call it love, but it's not. It's lust. You see, God redefined love. Love is not taking. That's what lust is. Love is giving. No greater love has any man than to give his life for his friends. Jesus is redefining love. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what real love looks like. You see, it's a new definition. It's a high definition. But if we're not careful, our definition of love is low. You see, here's what a practitioner of low love looks like. Yes, Jesus gave it all, and we give small. Jesus comes all the way from heaven for me, and we won't even go across the street to minister for him. That's low love. Jesus is totally committed, and our commitment is based on our feelings. It's fragile, it's fleeting. Do you know what real love looks like? Real love is unstoppable goodwill. Low love is based on my feelings. And if I feel like it, if you have done me right and I perceive that you're going to do me more right, then I will love you. That's low love. I want you to measure your love and go with me to the second observation, and that is God's love is deep. God's love is deep. And if you would, write down Romans 8, 35 through 39. God's love is deep. Now, here's what I want you to understand. In Romans chapter 8, listen to what the Lord says about what real love looks like, and specifically what His looks like. You see, God's love is deep and my love is shallow. That's the point. God's love is deep and my love is shallow. In Romans 8, listen, verse 35. If you feel unlovely right now, if you feel like you've made mistakes, if you are unworthy of the love of God, listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? No, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me tell you what God's love looks like. It is high and it is deep. That means that you can't run beyond it. It is so deep that it reaches to the border of hell, and God's love will grab a rebellious prodigal before he slips into eternity, disconnected from the Lord of love and life. That's how deep his love goes. Now, I can make you one guarantee. You may leave this building unsaved, but you will not leave this building unloved. Because God loves you with a limitless, unstoppable, unbreakable love. And it is not linked to your performance. It is linked to His character. You see, we often have a shallow love, a conditional love. If you're kind to me, I'll be kind to you. If you scratch my back, I'll itch yours. If you change, I'll love you. If you love me, I'll love you back. If you do this for me, if you go there for me, if you get it for me, count me in. But I'll count you out and I'll wipe you out if you don't dance to my tune. You see, that's conditional love. That is performance-based love. I received this compelling phone call a few days ago from a precious friend in our church. And this man has been struggling with an addiction, with alcoholism. And he had stayed away from this just demonic force in his life for a while. And then he slipped back in to alcohol. He was using alcohol that night, called about 11 o'clock. I recognized his phone number. It popped up, and he just was slurring his words. He says, Jay, Brother Jay, I messed up. I'm nothing but a worthless alcoholic. And he started crying. It was just so sad. It just broke my heart. Because he was basically doing a self-indictment. He was basically saying, I'm not worthy of your love or attention, but I'm calling out for it anyway. Now, friends, we've all been there, haven't we? We've all felt unlovely. We've all felt unworthy. That's because we judge God's love by our standard of loving. But God's love is not based on your conduct. It is based on His character. You see, the Scripture tells us, and this is a radical and startling statement. Mark down Matthew 5:44. God calls us to love not only our friends and our neighbors, but He calls us to love even our enemies. That's what Jesus says. Love your neighbors and hate your enemies, it is written. But I'm telling you, to even love your enemies, that is the call of God. To have that kind of depth of love that you love everybody. Not because of what they can do for you, but because of who they are. A person created in the image of God. Not a performance-based love, a conditional love, a because of love, but a pure love. I heard about this fella, and he and his wife hadn't been married long, and he did what a lot of guys do. He married up, and this lady happened to have a lot of money. Well, one day they were having a big argument, and she looked at him and she said, well, you know, that BMW is out there in the driveway because of my money. And then she looked at him and she said, this leather sofa is here in the living room because of my money. She said, that 60-inch flat screen TV, it's there because of my money. He said, honey, let's face it, I'm here because of your money too. You know what that is? That's conditional love. That's performance-based. And that's what the world's love looks like, but not the deep love of Christ. C.S. Lewis was a brilliant author, and he was speaking about God's love and loving people who have hurt us. And here's how he put it. This brilliant author wrote, "Do not waste your time bothering about whether you love your neighbor, but simply act as if you love them. As soon as you act in love, you will find one of the greatest secrets of life. When you are behaving as if you love someone, you will soon find that you actually love them. And if you do someone a good turn, you will find yourself disliking them less and loving them more." You see, transcend your feelings. And as an act of your will, choose to love like Jesus loved. Choose to love deep, not shallow. Number C, God's love is wide, and my love is narrow. My love can be exclusive. God's love is wide. That's what the Scripture tells us, and my love can be narrow. Now think about it. God's love is so wide that it takes on the whole world. That's why we learn in John 3:16, for God so loves the world. That's why Jesus gave the disciples this assignment. Go and make disciples of all nations. Don't leave anybody out, because I've created everybody and everybody counts. Fast forward to Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It pictures the throne room of God. And what do you find there at the end of the age? John said he saw this uncountable number of people from every nation. The word nation is ethnos. That means every ethnicity is represented. Every tribe, every people, every tongue. That means everybody counts. So God's love is that wide. Therefore, God calls us to love all. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. We know that song, but do we live that theme? Oh, God loves you. God loves everybody. He loves the folks who are Democrats and Republicans. He loves those Alabama and Auburn people, Bulldogs and Aggies. He loves the highbrow and lowbrow and no-brow and unibrow. He just loves them all. He loves the white collar and the no-collar. Isn't that something? God's love is that wide that it encompasses all. And yet, let's face it, we have a tendency to have a narrow love, an exclusive love. We tend to love people who are like us or who like us. But that's not God's way. The Scripture calls us to love all people. Go back and make this note. 1 John 4:7-8 plus verse 19 says, "Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. And he who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who loves not does not know God because God is love." You never look more like Jesus than when you have a wide love, than when you have a love that is blind to color and class and category and pedigree. That's the call of God. Now, that kind of wide love that encompasses everybody. And then lastly, God's love is long. Would you make that note? God's love is long, but my love is short. God's love is long. Really, the concept of long there has to do with long suffering. He is a patient lover. And friends, that's such good news. When you go to the Scripture, particularly mark down Luke 15 to study this concept, God's love is depicted there as a patient love. Do you remember in Luke chapter 15, there's the story of the shepherd seeking the lost sheep? I've got an idea that sheep had escaped before. I've got an idea that that was a really bad sheep. He was a sorry sheep. He would wander off. He had a propensity to wander and get lost. And yet that shepherd in his patient love, he would track down that sheep. He left the 99 and he goes out into the wilderness and he finds that one lost, errant, sorry, no good sheep. He could have just let that lamb be lunch for a lion or a wolf. He could have done that, but he didn't. Because in patient love, he tracked him down. And don't you know, when he found that vulnerable, beaten up little lamb, he hoisted him tenderly to his shoulders and he took him back to the fold. That's a picture of God being the patient shepherd. Or what about that son? Do you remember the son story? In Luke 15, verse 11, that prodigal who shook his fist in his father's face and said, "Dad, I wish you were dead so I could get the money. Man, I'm sick and tired of waiting for you to die. Can you just give me some cash? I'm out of this place. This place is trash. I just want the money." And that young, arrogant rebel became the prodigal. He took that money to the far country. He wasted it in wild living. He brought shame to the family name. But did the father ever stop patiently loving him? No, because his love is long. It is patient. He didn't give up on that wild child. And finally, he comes staggering toward home, fresh from the mud of the pigsty. And what does the father do? Is he passive? Oh, no. He jumps up and he runs to the boy and he smothers him with love and kisses. Why? Because he loved his child. He loves his child because his love is long. But there was somebody in that house that was really upset. Do you remember? In the father's house, there was somebody really upset. Do you know who it was? Well, no, it was the calf, because they had a barbecue from him. Just kidding. That's a little biblical humor. They killed a fatted calf, remember? But anyway, who was really upset was the older brother. The older brother was upset because he thought his sorry rascal of a little brother needed a good whipping. He brought shame to the family name. He needed to be kicked out, beat up, given a tongue lashing. He didn't have patient love, did he? He had love that is short. And friends, I have that same tendency, and so do you. You see, short love is what causes fights and fusses and friction and frustration, because God's love is the lubricant of every relationship. Maybe Maybe you've got some problem people around you. Does anybody have a problem person around you? Oh, I've had plenty of them. I've discovered that you do not have to be a cannibal to be fed up with people. You don't. You see, people will frustrate you. They'll hurt you. They'll disappoint you. And so you can develop this pattern of being a short lover. If you cross me, I will cross you out. So write down 1 Corinthians 13. Husbands, wives, parents, friends, church members, write down, learn it, live it out. What does 1 Corinthians 13, 4 say? Love is patient. It's not short and short-tempered and short-sighted. It doesn't throw people away. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or it's not rude. It doesn't rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices at the right. And how long does it last? Well, it lasts forever. It never fails. That is the kind of love that God is coaching you to have. I'll make two more simple quick notes, please. I want you to understand what love looks like. So, number one, let's see it. Number two, let's receive it. Let's receive it. How do you receive God's love? Well, John 3:16 says it's an act of simple faith. With childlike trust, He does not prescribe that you have to climb Mount Everest or give a gallon of blood or memorize the entire scripture. He just says, trust me. I love you so much. All you have to do is trust me and trust the great truth of Romans 5:8 that I have demonstrated my love for you and that while you were a sinner, I died for you. Oh, my friend, receive His unconditional love. You were wired for it. You crave it. I was so blessed as a kid in that I had a father named J. Leon Wolf Sr. And my daddy loved J. Jr. And he made it apparent. Do you know how you really spell love? You spell it T-I-M-E. And he spent thousands of hours with me. He made his love tangible. So when I started to learn about the love of my heavenly father, that was an easy transfer because I had had a wonderful earthly father. Maybe you didn't have a good earthly father, but I'm telling you, you've got a heavenly father that loves you with an unconditioned, unbreakable, unstoppable love. You see, He has unstoppable goodwill for you. Now, sometimes when I need an infusion of God's love, do you know what I do? Let me tell you a secret. I'll park myself in the theater of my imagination underneath the cross. And I'll see Jesus up there demonstrating His love for me. And I will imagine the blood of Christ dripping down on my face. And that blood is like a raindrop, a cleansing, healing, life-giving, refreshing raindrop that comes and reinfuses me with His love. Maybe you need that today. Maybe you've been hurt and you need to stand underneath the cross and bask in the light of His love. Last thing, would you write down after you see it to receive it and then share it? Share it. Oh, you've got to share it. My friends, the scripture tells us in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is your ongoing assignment. What are you known for? Anybody here known for your talents? Or maybe for your legendary temper? Anybody here known for your treasure? Or maybe your witty yet acidic tongue? What are you known for? You ought to be known for your love. You see, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, the flavor of your life should be faith and love. And people need to see it. I heard a funny story about this professor at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth. He always talked about love to the point that they re-nicknamed him. They renamed him Dr. Love. Always talking about the love of Christ. And he would preach about the love of Christ. He would teach his students about the love of Christ. Well, one day, they lived near the seminary in Fort Worth. There was a problem with crumbling driveway and a crumbling walkway. And so they were having it repaved. And they brought in the cement trucks. And they put in a bunch of cement down on the driveway and the walkway. And when they were letting it cure, the neighborhood kids could not resist it. And so they came to this wet cement, and these kids were putting their fingers down into the edge of the cement. They were writing their names. They were making hearts. And all of a sudden, Dr. Love looks out of his window, and he sees these kids messing up the cement. He goes berserk. He goes running outside and saying, "You sorry, no good kids, get out of here. You're ruining my new project." Well, his wife just couldn't believe it. She'd never heard him talk like that. She walked out and said, "Honey, what are you thinking? You are Dr. Love." He said, "That's love in the spirit. I'm talking about a mess in the concrete." That's how real life is. It's a mess in the concrete, isn't it? Practical day-to-day, people hurt us. They disappoint us. They mess up our business. So how do we respond? God says respond in love. One quick story. I had a friend at seminary, another seminary professor named Talmadge Butler. And Talmadge loved the Lord. He was a music professor and just a wonderful guy. Well, he and I were on the same church staff, and I just joined the church staff, and we had 54 kids going from Louisiana, right there where we were in Metairie, to Denver, Colorado. And I didn't know Talmadge that well, but whoever he would meet, he would always say, I mean, just like a trademark, "I love you, and the Lord loves you." That's just what he told everybody. The Lord loves you and I love you. Some version of that. Everybody he meets. We're cutting across West Texas en route to Denver, and we pull into a Pizza Hut about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's this little desolate place, and there are 54 hungry kids on this one bus, and we pull up to this little desolate Pizza Hut, and we walk in, and there's one teenage girl in there, and she just looks at the bus, and she's got terror all over her face. Well, Talmadge comes scurrying up to her and said, "Oh, honey, God loves you, and I do too. Don't you worry. We'll serve these people together." He goes into the kitchen and puts on an apron. This is our minister of music. He puts on an apron, and he says, "Jay, here's yours." Well, I didn't really want one, but anyway, I put on an apron too, because Talmadge was shaming me into it. So we got everybody seated, and that girl and me and Talmadge began to take the orders, because God loves you, and we do too. And in that moment, to a stranger, he made God's love real. And after everybody had been served, we stayed until we all cleaned up. We cleaned that. We even went back into the kitchen and helped clean up. You know, that's what real love looks like, isn't it? That's what love looks like in the concrete. See it. Receive it. And share it. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us beyond measure. Thank you, Lord, that you demonstrated your great love for us on the cross. Lord, may we see it, receive it, and then we promise today that we'll share it with everyone. Pray for this help in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.